WNBF.
And good morning and welcome here. It is Binghamton Now. Bob Joseph is off today and tomorrow as well. So I'm Roger Neal, pinch hitting as we continue on with First News and Binghamton Now on News Radio 1290 WNBF. Now coming up in our next hour, 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Karen Sweet O'Neill from KSO Insurance Solutions. Karen will be talking with us about open enrollment time for Medicare, for health information, medical plans, etc. And that's coming up in our 10 o'clock hour. At 11:15, we'll check in with a former Binghamton University basketball player, Eric Giuliani, who made a decision to travel around the world and not fly at all. This includes a stop in Antarctica. I don't know how he did it. He's going to tell us about it in the 11 o'clock hour today, a journey around the world, and how he was able to do that in a year or so, at least, maybe a little bit longer, too. But to start things off today, we are happy to have join us here in studio from Synostics, joining us Kyle Washington, and also Dr. Ken McLeod, who's come up with a very interesting concept and a way to test for dementia. We'll start things off with Kyle. Kyle, welcome. Good morning. How are you?
Thanks, Roger. Great. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us. Synostics, tell us about that.
Yes, Synostics. So we are a Binghamton University spinoff, co-founded by Dr. Ken McLeod, who's the entrepreneur in residence at Binghamton University. And about a year ago, we moved to 204 Washington Avenue in Endicott, and we're glad to be there.
Synostics. How did you come up with that name?
Well, Dr. McLeod can go more into that. We've made several pivots, but it basically has to do with statistics, sound wave, and numbers. And we started out many, many years ago as a knee assessment company, and through 15 years of research, have pivoted to what we are today, and that is a circulatory health a product that improves cardiovascular output and therefore circulatory health.
Are there other such operations around the country? This sounds pretty unique.
It is unique. We do have, there's many technologies that are similar, TENS and other things that Dr. McLeod will get into, but we are very unique in so far as we have a technology that stimulates the secondary heart. Most people don't realize, but the human body actually has more than one heart. We have the cardiovascular muscle that pushes blood out. But because of the dynamics of things like gravity, when we stand, most of our lymphatic fluid and blood pools to our lower extremity. So how do we get that back to our heart, and even more importantly, to our brain, when you think about it? So we actually have deep postural muscles behind the calf called the soleus muscle, and these muscles return that lymphatic fluid and blood back to the heart. And the better they operate, the better the performance of the heart, and therefore the better the circulatory health.
Now, your background, how did you get all this knowledge?
Oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. My background is sales, marketing, and finance. So Dr. McLeod and I met through a pre-seed workshop many years ago and started putting our heads together on a few ideas. And today we have not only Synostics, but another company, Microenvironmental, that makes the invisible blanket.
And this is all stemming from your time at Binghamton University, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
The reaches of this school are amazing.
Amazing. Amazing things going on the campus. Dr. McLeod's been involved in many of them. He has over 25 patents. He started 12 medical device companies, and three of them have had successful publicly traded exits.
Wow. We're joined also this morning by Dr. Ken McLeod. And, Doctor, I'll let you give a little background on yourself. And also your connection with the university, and then we'll get into what we're going to be talking about today with a way to test for dementia.
Well, great. Well, thank you for the opportunity to come in this morning. My background, of all things, is in engineering. I came out of MIT and then spent time in Tufts University in anatomy and cell biology, and then I was recruited down to Stony Brook to teach at the medical school. So I spent 15 years down on Long Island teaching in an orthopedics department and researching in areas such as osteoporosis. Spent many years in osteoporosis. But another issue that's really critical in surgery, in particular orthopedic surgery, is a condition called deep vein thrombosis. So that's when your blood flow, especially in the lower part of your body, becomes extremely slow. And as a result, your blood will actually clot in the veins. And that can be, in fact, fatal. You know, one of those clots can break away, it can move into your lungs, and it can kill you. So, and in fact, in orthopedics, this is common or was common 30 years ago. My chairman came to me. He goes, "Ken, what can we do about deep vein thrombosis? How do we keep blood moving in the lower body?" And that question, that comment 30 plus years ago, is really what's led to where we are today, because I have just spent a tremendous amount of time trying to understand what keeps blood flowing when you're upright. I mean, if you're laying on your back, the pressure created by your heart is more than enough to keep blood circulating. But as Kyle was alluding to, once you stand up, gravity pulls all that blood down into the lower extremities, and how does it get back up to the heart? And so that led to my investigations on the second heart, as we call it, the soleus muscle and the calf of the leg. And once we understood the role of the soleus muscle, it became a question of, well, what's happening to it? Why are people's soleus muscles so weak? And the gist of it is something that many of your listeners may have heard of called sitting disease. When, just like we're sitting right now, when we aren't moving, Western Europeans and Americans, everybody derived from Western Europe, we sit. And the rest of the world doesn't do it. Our ancestors didn't do this. When we went to relax, we would squat down. And when you squat, you have to use your soleus muscles. In fact, it's the only muscle in your leg you're using. And that kept our soleus muscles quite strong. As soon as we start sitting, now we don't use our soleus muscles at all. And so the older you get, the more sitting you're doing, and your soleus muscles mm-hmm. just get weaker and weaker and weaker.
The weakness starts with cold hands, cold feet, and then sometimes numbness. It often leads to swelling. Those are all varicose veins. These are all early signs of a weakened soleus.
Yeah. Interesting. And again, as you mentioned, so many people in our society, conversely, you go back even a generation, farming, all kinds of outdoor activity, people are on their feet, but physical activity, and now so much of what people do for a living is basically sedentary. You use your mind but not your body, and yeah. that has to compound the whole
thing. Modern life very much is. The latest report is that the adult Americans sit about 13 hours a day.
Wow.
So that's substantial. But when you think about it, you're sitting at work, but you're sitting when you're going to work mm-hmm. in a car. You're sitting while you're eating. You're sitting while you're being entertained, watching television, talking on your smartphone, whatever you're doing. We tend to sit a lot. And so it has this tendency. The soleus muscle is at what we call a deep postural muscle. So maybe the easiest example to compare it to would be your neck muscles. So you think about, well, how do I maintain my neck muscles? And we don't go to the gym and start lifting weights with our neck muscles. I mean, what we do is we get up in the morning, we pick our head up, we hold our head up for 16 hours in the day, and then we put our head down. That's the kind of training that a deep postural muscle needs, and that's the kind of training that your soleus needs. So, for example, if you stood up on your toes for 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day, your soleus would be great. So people, for example, who work on ladders all day, you're standing on your toes all day if you're working on a ladder. They have a great soleus muscle. Interestingly enough, women who wear very high heels, stiletto heels, have pretty good soleus muscles, because that really is forcing you to stand on your heels, your toes all day. It's terrible for your toes, granted. Okay, but it's good for your soleus muscle. So what we started looking at then, okay, we don't want people standing on their toes all day. We're not going to put people on their ladders all day. We're not going to have people squatting, although that wouldn't be a bad thing. I just watched the Ken Burns movie. Just watched the Vietnam War.
Saw part of that, yes.
And when they brought in all the prisoners, North Vietnamese, and they have shots of all the North Vietnamese,
they would squat.
What were they all doing? They were all squatting. Yep. Yes, exactly. So that's not a bad thing to do, but it's really hard to get people to do that. We'd have to lower our desks down to about 18 inches off the floor.
Some of us couldn't get back up.
There you go.
The other problem, right?
So then we started into research on, okay, how can we activate the soleus? How can we get it trained back up? And I spent better part of a decade working on that, and we ended up with a technique that you actually use your soleus muscle for doing a couple of things. It pumps, it's your secondary heart, but it also helps you stand. And so, and that's a reflex. You're standing now. You're not thinking about standing because that's a reflex response in humans. So we can trigger that reflex arc and get the soleus muscle to contract. And so we can, and we can do that while you're sitting quietly. So we stimulate the frontal plantar surface, the front of the sole of the foot. That activates a reflex arc that gets your soleus contracting. And then we just pace it, you know, very much like you're probably familiar with pacemakers in a heart for your cardiac muscle. So the cardiac muscle is contracting about once a second. The soleus muscle contracts once every couple of minutes. And so what we do is we stimulate the soleus muscle for a minute or so, and then we let it relax. It refills with blood.
And this is done in a very non-invasive way. So it's something that's workplace friendly. It's typically under the desk. You can use it with your shoes on. And it's just a vibration that vibrates the plantar surface of your foot. And just as Dr. McLeod is saying, stimulates that that soleus muscle to expand and contract.
Wow. Well, I've seen on television some of these. I don't know if it's anywhere close to what you're talking about, but you know, you'll put them, like, they basically massage the bottoms of your feet to supposedly increase the circulation.
You can, yes, there are foot massagers. So this is called skeletal muscle pumping, mm-hmm. and it's very important for keeping the blood moving around the body. There are muscles in the foot itself, and so you can stimulate the muscle, exercise that muscle in the foot, and that will enhance circulation, because essentially that foot pump primes the secondary heart. It primes the soleus muscle. So that can help. That can get you small increases in circulation, which can be good. But the one that does, and similarly your thigh muscle does a bit of pumping. So each of those contribute 10 or 15%. But 70, 75% of the blood return from your lower body is driven by the soleus. Mm-hmm. So that's the one you want to hit. And that's what we have developed our technology to do, is specifically activate the soleus.
And so our product called the Heart Partner, and what we're really excited to talk about is the two papers that Dr. McLeod has just published showing the positive correlation between circulatory health and dementia. And so many of us are worried about short-term memory loss and, you know, preventative measures that we can take. And really, this is there's no cure. There's no AMA, FDA-approved cure for dementia at this point. But Dr. McLeod's research is indicating that there is hope on the horizon. So we're really excited, number one, to be offering the community a free screening for cognitive dysfunction, and two, partnering with a lot of healthcare providers and primary care physicians to sort of nip it in the bud early if these factors indicate that there's a sign of onset dementia.
What kind of testing has been done to show the correlation may be able to, again, predict, I guess you would say, that somebody is a candidate, unfortunately, for dementia?
There's just been a tremendous amount of research over the last 10 or 20 years. One of the great things we know, as Kyle alluded to, there's no drug or no surgical treatment for dementia or cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's. But what we have learned is that almost any form of exercise will dramatically slow the progression, you know, that age-related cognitive impairment, we call it, which will lead to dementia and can often lead to Alzheimer's. The issue is, how do you get people to exercise and for hours a day, the elderly in particular? And that's been very difficult. So while we know that connection existed, we didn't have a way to implement it. And so that's really our contribution in a way. Using the Heart Partner, you can just be sitting, watching television. You can be working on your computer, whatever. And the stimulus will activate this reflex arc, which will get the soleus muscle working. And while it's working, while you're stimulating, it's going to increase your blood flow. But as importantly, the stimulation will retrain your soleus muscles. So even when you're not using the Heart Partner, your soleus muscles are going to be stronger. And the data we have, I don't know if we'd call it a cure, but it appears that exercise will not just slow the progression, it will reverse the progression.
So all cognitive dysfunction starts with a lack of perfusion of blood in the brain. And that's where it begins. And do you want to talk a little bit about the effect of circulatory health?
Yeah, we tend to think, when we think about blood flow circulation, we worry about things like stroke, we worry about things like heart attack associated with hypertension, high blood pressure. But that's a serious issue until we're 60, 65. After that, our blood pressure actually tends to drop. And there is substantial amount of work out there that shows that there is this very strong correlation between low blood pressure, especially the diastolic blood pressure. I don't know if your audience is familiar with blood pressure.
A lower number of
it's like 120 over 80. It's a low number, exactly. So we focus on that lower number, diastolic. And as that number goes below 70, your risk of dementia increases dramatically. There's at least one long-term study, 20-year study, that showed a tenfold increased risk of dementia when that lower number is below 70. So that's what we're focused on. We're keeping that number above 70 because that's high enough to push blood up to your brain, because most of the blood in your body just drops down with gravity. But you have to push it up to your brain. And if the blood pressure is below 70, you can't push it up to the brain.
So people who are still, say, in their 40s, whatever, and have trained and worked out everything, and if their blood pressure is a bottom number like 60 or 65, is that a bad thing?
We don't know. We haven't studied going back that far, but we have studied it in people 60 and older. So usually people who are active, their blood pressure, you don't see those low blood pressures. You might see it in a very tall, thin person occasionally. Mm-hmm. But again, as Kyle was alluding to, you'll have symptoms if you have low blood pressure, if you're not getting enough blood back to your heart. Because as your cardiac output drops, your brain's going to say, where am I going to send this blood? And one of the first things it does is say, okay, I'm shutting off the hands and the feet because I don't care about those. I'm going to try to protect the brain and the core. And so if your hands and feet, you're sitting at work and your hands and feet are cold, you have an issue, okay, with secondary heart failure. If you have varicose veins, you have an issue with secondary heart failure.
And if you wonder, I mean, as I've said, Synostics just began on Monday offering free screenings. So if you wonder, or if your parents or, you know, a loved one or a neighbor, somebody, a relative, bring them to Synostics. We're at 204 Washington Avenue, Monday through Friday during business hours from 9 to 5. We're offering these free screenings. We'd love to do a quick, and it's a fun test. You know, it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. We'd love to do one of the examples with you on air. It'll take about 20 seconds.
Sure.
It's kind of a fun test. But yeah, if anybody has a concern, again, we're offering these free of charge. There's no obligation. There's no we're not taking any medical information. We don't even need your last name. So you just come in. You can give us a nickname if you like, and we'll do some fun tests with you and give you some indicators as to how you're looking.
And Dr. McLeod, tell us about the testing that you do. People, I'm sure, are going to say, okay, well, is this a day-long thing, or if I'm under blood pressure medication now, does it, you know, eliminate me from the study, or what does
right.
it all take?
Okay, so the research we have associates blood pressure with cognitive impairment. The tests we use in our studies, we use a number of tests. The one we have found that is most successful is what we call the incongruent Stroop test, developed way back in the 1930s. Very simple test. You essentially are reading colors. You have a page of words, which are names of colors, and those words are in different colors. And the trick is to read the color. The words serve as a distraction. So your brain has to focus on doing one thing while it's being distracted by something else. And that's just turned out to be an excellent marker of executive function. And so we have used that. And as you say, we also are interested in measuring blood pressure. So we are very interested in what's called resting diastolic pressure. So this is not the pressure you have when you're running. You run into the physician's office and you sit down and they take your blood pressure in the first 30 seconds. in principle, what you're supposed to be doing is sit for at least 5 minutes. But we find that sitting for 10 or 15 minutes is the best way to get to resting blood pressure, and that's the number we're looking for. And so as a result, the testing takes about 15 minutes. So you're going to come in, we're going to explain the test to you, we're going to take your blood pressure, have you do the test, explain your results to you, take your blood pressure again, and then if you're performing poorly on the test, because we have normalized data, we can say you're performing poorly on the test. Then the question is that related to your blood pressure, or is there some other cause? Because there are certainly other causes of dementia. But the one that is most important and most common would be, in fact, what we call hypoperfusion of the brain, and that's associated with low blood pressure.
And then what argument do you have or case can be made? I have people in my family. I had an uncle who was not overweight, walked daily, exercised a lot, repaired homes, and was suffered from dementia in his mid-70s. But my point is that, you know, we're talking about sedentary, it sounds like sedentary
Correct.
People not using your calf muscles enough.
Yeah.
And an example of somebody who did everything by the book, basically.
And it's not that big muscle on the back of your
right.
calf. That's your gastroc. And so when you're working, you're walking, you're running, you're using your gastroc. You're using your soleus when you're squatting or you're standing on your toes. And so you can be fairly active and have a remarkably weak soleus muscle. In mm-hmm. fact, basically 100% of elite sprinters have no soleus muscle. It's just gone. They have this enormous gastroc. Okay. But a sprinter, they're like sharks. They have to move. If they stand still, they'll pass out. So you can be in remarkably good shape and have a very poor soleus muscle. And that very likely is what happened with
Rumble. And Roger, we'll be happy to take any questions from callers if they want to call in. Or as my colleague Dee Holliday just pointed out, they can go to our website at www.synostics.com. And we have a nice little 3-minute video that explains how your soleus works and how this affects your overall health.
Now,
but before we do that, would you like to take the incongruence droop?
I will do that.
It's a lot of fun.
Is. Okay,
yes.
So here's what you're going to do.
Do I need to
all
go
right.
to
we'll
commercial?
Start
or can I
yep, I have a stopwatch, and we're going to just time you.
Right.
And the trick is here, you're not going to read the word. You're going to identify the color. There's 21 words that are in different colors on the sheet,
right.
And Dr. McLeod will give it to you starting as soon as he gives it to you. I'll start
there
the stopwatch.
Just
ready?
Read those 21 words.
Just read the color. You have to monitor them.
I read the color?
Yeah,
okay,
ready?
Read it, not look at it. Okay, purple. Or do you want me to read?
No,
okay.
That's red.
No, read.
Okay.
Read the color.
All right,
okay.
We're going to start it over.
So
here we go.
What
ready?
It says I read. I don't
yeah,
read.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
I only want to see the color.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
Red, blue, green, gold or yellow, green, black, blue, red, yellow, black, yellow, blue, green, red. Black, red, blue, green, black, yellow, and blue.
Excellent.
Okay, 28 seconds.
And
so
did I get them right?
That puts you probably 50-ish.
Thank you.
Okay.
Give me another
category.
Test.
somewhere in there. So we actually have a chart, kind of an age-normalized
right.
chart of where you should be. A teenager can do that in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Amazingly enough.
If you give it to a 6-year-old.
And it can also fix my Android
and
in about 7 seconds.
All of that. Yeah, exactly.
But
so,
it disrupts. If you notice you're hesitating at times, it really sends a disrupt to your brain because your brain wants to read the letters of the word.
It's telling you one thing and you're sensing another.
Exactly.
So teens are done around 10 seconds. You get up into your 80s and 90s, it can take up to a minute. Roughly.
So I'm in my 50s then, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to like that test.
So at any rate, so that's the test. So it's a fairly straightforward test, but it's very effective, very reproducible.
Okay.
And so that's the test we give people, and we correlate their results to their blood pressure that we record in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can say, you're in great shape, or this is something you should be concerned about.
So let's tell them about the study.
So there's two studies. The first study is the one we've just been talking about, the one that correlated low diastolic pressure to cognitive impairment. And then we went on and did a second study, an intervention study, and say, okay, so if having low blood pressure is associated with cognitive impairment, what happens if we correct the blood pressure in these individuals over time? And so we took a group of elderly citizens living in a senior citizen center, and we had a group that had very good test scores and, in fact, had, of course, normal blood pressure. And then we had this group that had very low blood pressure, and we gave them a heart partner and said, please use the heart partner for at least an hour a day. And then we track them. Every week we track to see where their cognitive performance was. After 12 weeks, they had caught up to their peers, the one with normal blood pressure. Both their blood pressure had improved and was at a normal level because of the soleus training, and their cognitive performance matched that of the control group. And that study will be coming out in the next month in clinical interventions in aging.
And then we took them off the heart partner.
And then we did. We took them off the heart partner for 3 weeks to see what would happen, and sure enough, they started to degrade. Now, we know that young people, after about 3 months of usage, their soleus muscle is trained up, and that tells us that in older individuals, it doesn't happen in 3 months. It'll reverse. It can reverse for a number of reasons. One thing you need to build up your soleus muscle is adequate vitamin D, and that can be a very difficult thing to achieve here in the north.
Absolutely.
In Binghamton, we don't have a lot of sunshine. These individuals tend to be indoors most of the day, and many are being supplemented with vitamin D, some are not. But so we don't know exactly how long it would take for an elderly person to retrain their soleus muscle. But as long as you're using your heart partner daily, you're going to be fine.
What do you say to people who perhaps don't have full use of legs, lower body, or whatever? What can be done for that?
In our study, it's a very important question. In our study, we had at least one person in a wheelchair. And so they just flipped the footrest out of the way, rolled up to the heart partner and used it, and was quite successful. So there is conditions of paraplegia where you have no muscle activity left at all. And then that's a serious issue because it's very hard to maintain blood pressure in those people because blood will pool, and often, in fact, complete paraplegia, they will amputate the legs to prevent that pooling action. But if you have some muscle activity left and you've lost motor coordination, because remember, this is a deep postural muscle. It's not a voluntary muscle. So you could have no control over your muscles and the reflex is still working. And so that's what we find in most cases, that the reflex is still there.
And so this, have studies proven that somebody who has cognitive degeneration, basically, perhaps the start,
impairment.
The start of dementia, for example, or Alzheimer's. Have any studies shown that with stimulating what you're talking about, things can either slow down or reverse at all, or once it's underway, is it too late?
So in our case, we worked with people with what we call mild cognitive impairment. That is to say, they knew enough, we'd say, who's the president of the United States? What day is today? You know, where do you live? They could answer those questions. We did not do our study on people who go, I don't know, Jimmy Carter, you know, or something like that. Those people were excluded from the study. So people with frank dementia or Alzheimer's would be in that category. They don't remember.
There's three basic stages, and so we're talking about pre-stage one, stage one. Certainly not, we haven't done anything with stage three.
That would be a wonderful thing to know. You know, could we reverse something like Alzheimer's? But frankly, we are much more focused on preventing anyone from ever getting there. I mean, that's our goal. It's slow or reverse that cognitive impairment, so they're never going to develop dementia.
So
it's a different, you know.
In a nutshell, the summary of the testing is to show that the potential of what their status is at this stage.
Correct.
Could indeed lead to dementia or Alzheimer's, or is already leading to that.
Correct. So you could
both
be
right.
Performing pretty well, but have very low diastolic blood pressure, which means you're at great risk. You could be performing poorly and have low diastolic blood pressure. You could be performing poorly and have good diastolic blood pressure, which means it's something else, and we would say you should talk to your primary care provider. You could come in and you could be hypertensive, and we'd say you got to go talk to a cardiologist. That's usually not an issue in older individuals, but we're going to know when our testing is done.
We have some callers here. I want to open up the phone lines here as we can in our final 13 or 14 minutes of our segment today. We're talking again with Kyle Washington from Synostics on Washington Avenue, Endicott, and also Dr. Ken McLeod. We're talking about trying to get clues and testing for potential dementia or the oncoming of that. And so let's open up the phone lines here for a couple of moments here and say, John, good morning. John from Binghamton, do you have a question for our guests in studio? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't hear you at this stage. There we go. Well, could you repeat that again?
Does the machine that they have do something for the lymphatic system similar to going to a lymphatic clinic and having the massaging, or is this just a different concept? And is the machine covered by insurances at this point?
All right, guys, I have an answer for that.
So that's an excellent question. As it turns out, you know, the blood supply has the cardiac muscle that circulates blood. The lymphatic system is dead-ended. There's no pump that circulates it. And so you're completely dependent on muscle activity to return blood or lymphatic fluid from the lower body up to the back into the heart. There's a number of pumps that return lymphatic fluid. For example, every time you breathe, the compression of the chest returns fluid. But the soleus is absolutely critical for returning lymphatic fluid, interstitial fluid, back up to the heart. The answer to your second part of your question is that there are some insurance companies which are covering the cost of the device, and there are other companies that are reviewing, and hopefully in a few weeks we will know if they've agreed to cover it.
We're working closely with Excellus right now, and we're hopeful that we're going to be able to do something with them. So it's on the horizon. And, Roger, I just got a text from our office. So people are calling in to make these appointments, and that's wonderful.
Sure.
Our number is 748-1700. So if anybody wants to do a cognitive function screening, it's free of charge, no cost or obligation. Please give us a call. Again, that number is 748-1700.
All right, let's take another call here. And Martin, you're on the air with our guests here in studio, and go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, Doctor. It's very informative.
And go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. You're very informative. I'm almost 65-year-old man, and I've inherited horrible varicose veins, fighting wounds for over 22 years, had a DVT blood clot 3 years ago, have a horrible wound right now. I'm at a wound care center today. You're talking about, I wear stockings, you know, for the pumps, to aid in the pumping. I went from 20 to 30 to 30 to 40. And the testing that you're doing, is that any different than having a Doppler done?
We will not be doing a Doppler on you. I mean, certainly you definitely have, you know, symptoms of soleus insufficiency. The inability for these lower limb wounds to heal is a classic result of poor circulation. You're using compression stockings, which is excellent. They're very effective. Many people don't like them. In fact, people in the South hate them because they're so warm. But they're not going to address the underlying cause, which is weak soleus. So they'll compress your tissues, and that helps get blood back up to the heart. But in fact, it lowers perfusion of the tissue in the lower extremity. So it helps in one way, it hurts in another way, and it's not going to get to the underlying cause, which is soleus weakness. So you would definitely be a candidate.
What is the procedure? I missed some of that. What would you do? Is there some kind of a pump you attach, or is there something that you could do for that?
The Heart Partner is a vibration. It's a vibration that stimulates the plantar surface of the foot, and then it stimulates the soleus muscle to expand and contract. And as Dr. McLeod alluded to, it's a lot like a pacemaker for that secondary heart.
So it's, where is it put in?
Well, go ahead and ask your question again.
Where is it placed?
You place it, you use it while you're seated. Yeah, it doesn't work well when you're standing. So you place it, the vast majority of our users put it under their desk, but lots of people, you know, if they're at home, they put it in front of an easy chair, under their kitchen table, somewhere. We really want you to use it for at least an hour a day. We'd frankly prefer you to use it 2 or 3 hours a day. So some place where you're sitting for 2 or 3 hours a day is a great location.
Yeah, wherever you sit, and again, this is something that is non-invasive. You can use it at work. It's workplace friendly, so you can use it with your shoes on or your shoes off. So depending on where you spend the majority of your day, if my parents are retired, you know, they're at home a lot. My father likes to watch the baseball games, and so he puts it in front of the easy chair. At the office, all of us have one under our desks. So it really just depends where you sit most of the time.
Okay, Martin, thank you very much for your call. By the way, the number for Synostics, 748-1700, for a chance to get more information about the testing. Let's take one more call here and say good morning to Ron from the town of Dickinson. Ron, good morning. You're on with our guest. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Is night leg cramping any indicator of a need to increase attention to the soleus?
Great question, and the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, you know, when I started my research, I didn't even know nighttime leg cramping existed, and then I learned it's just a huge issue, and it's incredibly painful. And it is a result of fluid pooling during the day, and then when you lay down at night, that fluid shifts, and that's what gives rise to those muscle cramps, which are excruciating. It is one area where we have had just tremendous success, even though we didn't intend. Everybody who has had leg cramping and gotten a heart partner has called us the next day and said, or the next week, and said, it disappeared the first day I used it and it has never come back.
There are many conditions which take time. And as Dr. McLeod said, we like people to use at least an hour a day. And, you know, things like varicose veins might take 4 to 6 to 8 weeks to see them disappear. But there are two symptoms that we see instant results. One is the nighttime leg cramps and the other is swelling.
So there you go. Okay, Ron, thank you for your question and your call. And again, 748-1700, the number for Synostics. Now, these tests, what will the data, if at all, be used from the people that come in for the testing? Is there any compiling of that from the testing that you're taking?
Yes, or how does that work? So this is not a scientific study. So there are rules for collecting data if one is going to analyze that data, generalize the results, and publish it. And this is not intended in any way to be used in that capacity. The studies have been done. We just want to use these recent study results to help people identify whether they're at risk of increased risk of dementia. I guess we're all at risk of dementia. But are they at increased risk in the near future? And so, no, this
and help them find preventative measures. Yeah. So yes, this is not used for any, we're not collecting data for research.
Is there an age limit, like somebody under 40 wouldn't take this test, or 50, or how does that?
Well, it's interesting. One of our biggest markets is young women working in the office, 20, 30-year-old professional, 40-year-old professional women who are not at all concerned about dementia, but they are freezing to death all the time. They have space heaters under their desk.
We don't want 8-year-olds taking the Stroop test because then we'd all feel bad.
Exactly.
If you're a minor, we won't let you in, right? But yeah, so yeah, anybody from 30 up is fine. And you know, if you want to bring a parent in because you know they aren't capable of driving or getting to the office, whatever, that's perfectly fine as well. We'll test both of you. You know, you and mom, you and dad.
People in the medical profession said about this? What has been feedback?
It's fascinating. You know, I taught at Stony Brook Medical School for 15 years, and I'm amazed at how many physicians don't appreciate how tall humans are. Not only are we tall, but we're in a strong gravity field, and our skin's very soft. And it's those three physical things that give rise to this lower limb swelling, this pooling of fluid. And it's not the type of thing that we typically teach in medical schools. So if you're trained in Asia or Europe, they go, absolutely, we covered this in school. If your medical training was in the U.S., you might be less familiar with it. But then once you explain it, they go, well, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that. So it's fairly positive. Again, American medicine is based on a reimbursement system to a very large degree rather than a cash-based system. And so physicians are much more comfortable working with a venture once there is reimbursement, insurance reimbursement. But conceptually, they very much like the idea. Anything that's non-invasive. You know, as soon as you give someone a drug, there's a risk it's going to interact with another drug. In fact, polypharmacy is one of the most common reasons for low blood pressure. So they much prefer something that is simple. If you take your feet off it, it stops. Take a drug, you say, I'm going to quit. It's still in your system for a long time.
Mm-hmm. We have time for one more call. Let's go to the phones here and say from Endicott D. Good morning. You're on with our guests, Kyle and Dr. McLeod. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I was fortunate enough I got in for your testing. But my question is, for one who has a DVT, once they have that and on the Xarelto, after 6 months, can the Doppler test be done again? Or once you have it, it stays there? Or can a Doppler be taken to see if it's getting bigger or anything like that?
No, if your DVT was 6 months ago, they've put you on anticoagulants to get rid of that blood clot. So it should be dissolved by now. If the pain in your leg is gone, chances are the clot is gone. And at that point, you should be fine. You want to get mobile, or you want to use a heart partner. You want to do something to maintain that blood flow in your lower extremities, or it's clear you're at risk, another one can develop. So just having been treated for it once doesn't mean it'll come back. But, if you're not having pain in your leg anymore, it's probably fully dissolved. And
Dee, thank you for your call. No, we should make it clear. Do you recommend people use this product, for example, that they do it under the physician's care? Or, you know, talk about
that. There's no need for physician's care. Obviously, if people have health conditions, most people are under, you know, in this age group, are under some physician's care, either that of a general practitioner or a cardiologist or pulmonologist or something. But we have never had a case where a physician says, I want you to stop using the heart partner. We haven't seen that yet. Often they're intrigued and say, could you get me some literature? I've got to go online and learn more about this product. Some physicians are quite intrigued by it, say, this is a great solution for this individual.
And again, the name of the key muscle that needs to stimulate is?
This is called the soleus muscle.
Soleus, yep.
You have two of them in each calf, right?
Right. All right. Very interesting. Again, these tests are being done Monday through Friday, a limited time, I guess, for whatever.
We're going to do them through the holiday season. We also hope to partner with the Oakdale Mall and have some promotions during the holiday season to make it easier for the community.
And overall, Dr. McLeod, as far as time frame from somebody who would come in, start the testing, and finish, what would the average amount of time?
15, 20 minutes.
Total.
Yes.
So it's not like you've got to take the whole day off.
Thing in
That's
any
right.
Way.
Yeah. Tremendous. And they'll get the results right there.
All right. And again, the Synostics is located at 204 Washington Avenue, Endicott. 748-1700 is the number to call to make the appointment or to find out more about what we've been talking about today. Very good. And is there a web? You mentioned a website.
That's right, www.synostics.com.
All right.
That's S-O-N-O-S-T-I-C-S.
All right, very interesting. My mom had dementia, had relatives with it. I've seen it firsthand, and it's pretty horrible. So
yes, sir.
We appreciate your research into this, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Roger, we appreciate you having us. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
So I tested like a 50-year-old, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, you did.
I'm feeling good.
I see you stand all day.
You know I do. And
that's
it's because of circulation. And it burns more calories.
So yes, it does.
If you can't get a workout,
metabolic rate.
I'll take them the best I can. You know.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger.
Appreciate Kyle Washington from Synostics and Dr. Ken McLeod in studio with us here on News Radio 1290 WMDF. Coming up 10:15, we'll chat with Karen Sweet O'Neill from KSO Insurance Solutions. And at 11:15, we'll talk with a former Binghamton University basketball player who made it around the world and never took a plane flight. How about that? That's on the way. Coming up today on News Radio 1290 WNBF.